What the Senate hearing on H.J.R. 173/174 confirmed. The Senate Economic and Workforce Development hearing on House Joint Resolutions 173 and 174 gave Missourians a much clearer picture of the fight over this proposal. It did not settle the biggest questions. In many ways, it confirmed them. Supporters again framed the resolution as a path to eliminating the income tax. But the hearing repeatedly showed that the real replacement tax details, exemptions, rates, and burden-shifting questions are still being left to future legislation. That is the big takeaway. The core dispute is no longer just whether income tax is good or bad. The real question is whether Missourians should be asked to change the Constitution first and trust future lawmakers to write the real tax package later. Before going further, one more thing should be said plainly. The Missouri Senate still does not offer a public video feed of committee hearings. That matters, because transparency matters. Citizens should not have to depend on secondhand accounts to know what happened in hearings this important. Now, here is what happened. Representative Ben Davidson again presented the proposal as a two-part approach. He described one section as the gradual growth trigger path to eliminating the income tax over time. But he also described another section as the part that exists for those who want to go about that process faster, by opening a later conversation about replacement revenue through what he called a narrowly tailored, guardrailed consumption tax. That matters because it confirms what critics have been saying all along. This is not just a formula for lowering income taxes. It is also a constitutional opening for later tax restructuring. The hearing then alternated between supporters and opponents. And by the end, the lines were clearer than ever. Supporters stressed growth, competitiveness, and letting the people vote. Opponents and informational witnesses kept coming back to the same unresolved issues. Future service taxes, missing specifics, constitutional carve-outs, burden shifting, transportation funding, and whether the public is being shown the finished plan before being asked to vote. There were several things that felt especially new or newly clear in this hearing. First, the sponsor was more explicit about the bill's two-track structure. That matters because it becomes harder to pretend this is only about growth. Second, the goods and services language was put directly on the record. Senator Lewis had Davidson read the sentence allowing state and local sales and use taxes to be expanded by legislation to transactions involving any goods and services. That was important because it forced the issue out of talking points and into the actual language of the amendment. Third, business hesitation was more visible. Groups like Associated Industries of Missouri and the Greater Kansas City Chamber and Civic Council did not simply say yes or no. They highlighted uncertainty, missing specifics, and the need for guardrails in the Constitution itself. And fourth, transportation concerns were sharpened. A transportation witness argued that the remaining constitutional references in the bill still create exposure for transportation-related funds if the amendment passes. One of the most useful ways to understand this hearing is not by simply listing who testified, but by grouping what people said by argument. So let's do that. The first argument was this. This is just about eliminating the income tax. Supporters said the bill creates a gradual path to eliminating the income tax. But others at the hearing pointed out that the bill also opens the door to later tax restructuring. That means this is not just a growth formula. It is also a constitutional framework for future changes to the tax base. The second argument was this. This does not tax services. Supporters stressed that the resolution itself does not impose a tax on services right now. That is true as far as it goes. But at the hearing, the sponsor was made to read the sentence allowing state and local sales and use taxes to be expanded by legislation to transactions involving any goods and services. That means both things are true. The bill does not tax services today. but it clearly creates future constitutional authority for lawmakers to expand taxes to goods and services later. The third argument was this: it is revenue neutral. Supporters describe the proposal as responsible and revenue neutral. But other witnesses kept pressing the obvious problem. The public still has not seen the actual replacement tax package that would prove how that claim is supposed to work. The service list is not final. The exemptions are not final. The offsets are not final. The rates are not final. So the text does not give Missourians the finished replacement tax plan. It leaves those decisions to later legislation. That means revenue neutral is still more of a projected outcome than a fully specified public plan. The fourth argument was this: the people get to decide. Supporters returned again and again to the idea that this should simply be put on the ballot and let the people decide. But opponents and informational witnesses kept pointing to the same problem. The people are not being shown the finished package. That means the vote would be on a framework rather than on a fully known tax plan. So yes, the bill guarantees a ballot measure. But it does not guarantee that voters will have the actual later service tax structure, exemption list, and replacement tax details in front of them before they vote on the constitutional change itself. The fifth argument was this: we can trust future lawmakers to do this correctly. Much of the supportive case relied on the idea that future lawmakers can build a careful package, protect certain groups, and structure the details responsibly. But informational and opposition testimony repeatedly asked for those guardrails to be written into the Constitution itself, instead of being left to later discretion. That point was especially strong coming from business and stakeholder witnesses, who were not reflexively opposed to tax reform as a concept, but still wanted more specifics and stronger guardrails. And that gets to one of the clearest themes of the whole hearing. The bill leaves many of the fairness protections, exemptions, and implementation choices to future legislative action. That is not speculation. That is what came through again and again in the hearing itself. There was one more argument in the hearing that deserves special attention, and it came from Lisa Panette of Armorvine. Her focus was on the amendment's own definitions. She pointed out that future legislation only has to be anticipated, directly or indirectly, to help reduce and eliminate the state individual income tax. That is important, because it is a very soft standard. It does not require the same bill to produce a concrete income tax cut. It does not create a strict dollar-for-dollar lockbox. And it does not require an immediate, measurable reduction in the same legislation. That is one of the sharpest criticisms raised in the hearing, because it goes directly to the concern that the future legislature is being given too much room. The transportation issue also deserves special attention. Yes, that concern was raised directly. A transportation witness explained that while one constitutional section dealing with motor fuel taxes had already been removed from the House version, the remaining references to Article 4, Sections 30B, 30C, and 30D still create a problem. Why? Because those sections deal with how transportation-related revenue is used, and with anti-diversion rules that are meant to keep transportation money from being moved into other parts of the budget. Now, that does not prove diversion will absolutely happen, but it does prove the concern is serious enough that transportation groups are treating it as real. And that matters. Because if this were only about eliminating income tax through growth, there would be no obvious reason for the bill to brush up against transportation dedication language at all. The fact that it does is one more sign that this is a larger restructuring proposal than supporters often imply. So what, in the end, did this hearing confirm? It confirmed that the real tax plan still comes later. It confirmed that supporters still rely heavily on future lawmakers. It confirmed that seniors and fixed-income Missourians remain exposed to possible burden shifting. and it confirmed that vagueness is not just a grassroots complaint. Business and informational witnesses said essentially the same thing in more polished language. They still do not know the actual plan, and that makes them uneasy. There are also several basic questions supporters still could not answer from the bill itself. Which services would be taxed later, and which would be exempt? What actual rates would be needed if lawmakers broaden the base? What protections for seniors or fixed-income Missourians are actually written into the amendment itself? How would local governments and local tax rates be affected in practice? How would transportation dedicated funds be protected if the Article 4 carve-out remains? And why should voters approve the framework before seeing the finished implementation plan? That leads to the one sentence to remember from this hearing. The Senate hearing did not remove the biggest concern. It confirmed it. Supporters still want Missourians to approve the constitutional framework now, while many of the most important tax decisions remain for later. So here is the bottom line. The debate is no longer only about whether income tax is good or bad. It is about whether Missouri voters should be asked to change constitutional protections first, while the actual replacement tax package is still unsettled. Supporters argued growth, competitiveness, and giving the people a chance to vote. Opponents and informational witnesses kept returning to the same problem: the actual service list, the exemptions, the rates, and the burden shifts are still not in front of the public. That is why this hearing was so important. It did not clear up the biggest concern. It confirmed it.